alone. A fool doesn't notice God's patience, showing his mercy by your everyday awakening. You don't acknowledge it, but every breath you're taking in, it symbolizes that our God is still raising men. Through our mishaps and messing up, he's patient, giving us time so we can step it up. Blessing us through wrongdoings, he be checking us. Never alone, always checking up. Could have said that's enough, now that's patience. No hesitation in his statements. We grow through, yet we're never forsaken. I was that dude catching attitudes like where we at, but through every storm he came through, so bury that. We want things when we want, we on some hurry back. But growing more, we learn where to place our worries at. A foolish man doesn't wait, a wise man learns from mistakes and moves that a God led pace. A wise man's patient with his brethren and doesn't treat him as if he ain't intelligent. He doesn't give up to help him learn, remembering that he was in that same place first or worse. But somebody took time to pour into him and took him out when they really couldn't afford to do it. And took time out to pray, cause late night, advice given when he fell on his date night. Now that's patience. Like a dude praying for a wife, not giving in to only dating. Or like a woman not just jumping to the next man. No one waiting for God to send him is the best plan. Sometimes we forget how God orchestrates. It sounds better than ours, don't try to force your place. And the non-belief is right where you used to be. So stand outside of the norm of what is usually impatient. A blind man is used to the darkness and needs love not to be treated like garbage. You walk in his shoes once, dead to the truth, bearing nothing but death, dead to the fruit. They in that same place, needing that same grace, needing that time for you to share for that same faith. That seed planted will grow, so take time to make time, giving all that you know. Now that's patience, some frustration, some irritation, but lay foundation for clarification. Times get hard and giving up is easiest, but what's more pleasing to God is obedience. And times short, more importantly, they need us to be examples for change. Yo, they see us. A strong man perseveres and stands to live out what he hears. Though the challenges and storms do appear, he's patient.
Do work, and get grind, be patient, be patient. You do work, keep in mind.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm having a little technical difficulties here with my system. Oh, man. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Giving honor to Christ who is the head of my life. Amen. Welcome to, another exciting training day. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. Hallelujah. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it anyhow. Amen. You know, I just thinking that, you know, I listen to my brother's song, amen, on the radio portion. I'm a, like I said, I haven't figured out how to lay that in yet. But, you know, music is something I look at that as grabbing back control of the music, you know. Amen. But that hallelujah. Given I'm in Christ, who's the head of my life, amen. And Pastor Gerald Overall, my producer, amen, also known as Pastor O from Running for Christ Ministries. You know, I thank God for him, amen, for his support over these years, amen, in the Run for Christ Ministries and all those who have been supporting this radio broadcast, amen, and YouTube videos. I mean, it means a lot to me, you know, just when anybody responds. I mean, I said I'd do this, Lord, if just one person listens and it's more than one. And I just thank God for being able to participate in these last or end of days, because we are at the end of days. You know, I don't see, you know, the war, the tragedies, the increasing crime, that doesn't really bother me negatively, because it's expected and it's going to get worse, but it also says that our redemption draws near. Amen. We're about to be snatched up out of here, you know. And now it's just about that all-out outreach, you know, reaching out. You know, I do YouTube, not YouTube, what's that, Uber, like three times a week. And on the back of my headrest, I have notices of the end of days about the rapture coming, you know. And it disturbs some people, but they have no idea. That little sign on the back of my headrest don't disturb them as much as if they get left behind. Because if you read, I was reading the other day in Revelation chapter 7 through 9, and that's a horror story. There's somebody should make a movie. Well, they did make a movie about that, part of it anyway. But, amen, let's go forth before the throne of God, amen, because this is about his will and his word, amen. And thank you right now, Father God, Father God, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, because it came at a very high price. It didn't just, amen, in a vacuum. You have a plan, and you've given us revelation of that plan. And that's what we're here to share, Lord, your plan for mankind going on through eternity. Father God, right now we ask that you give us the intelligence of your wisdom in the revelation of the knowledge of Jesus. We ask that you bless the eyes of our understanding even more, and we will better know what is the hope of your calling, the great riches of your glory, and the inheritance you have in us, your saints, the great and exceeding power you've made available to those of us who submit and obey you. Father, we ask that you bless us with the knowledge of your will. Give us the courage and strength to carry it out so we'll be fruitful in every good work approved of by you. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. That is not something that we take lightly. I ask, Lord, that you bless my tongue, be that of a ready writer, to write upon your hearts of your people and even my own. We want it to be all of you and none of me. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I live this life. You know, once I got a revelation that it wasn't religion. But, you know, I'm going to tell you something. Don't miss praise, saints. But praise God at home. That's what it really means more to him at home when you by yourself and it's just you and him. You know, everybody, you're not trying to impress nobody but him then. You know, people, I've seen people throughout the years that come to church, they sing, they shout real loud. And then I look around a couple of years later and you don't even see them, you know, because they draw attention. When you praise God, you're going to draw attention from the devil, okay? He's coming after you because he going to see if you real or not. But there is. If you have the revelation of Ephesians 5:18, then you know that you're drawing in God when you praise him. Just as you breathe in, when you praise God, you breathe in more God. That's why it says be filled with the Spirit of God, which is still the topic of our subject right now, the Holy Spirit of God in man. And it's slowly, I'm starting to hear more. I ain't gonna name the man of God, but he was talking about some of the same things that I have been sharing of our travel capabilities. There's a distinct difference between when Jesus comes for us and what happens now. But anyway, you'll be able to travel throughout the universe, out the world. Nothing will be limited to you. And that's incredible to think of when you think of right now. Right now, if you wanted to go and spend time underwater, you'd have to buy scuba gear. And then there's limits on how far you could go with that gear. Well, you won't need that when after the resurrection. I mean, think about it. Of all that occurs, again, when you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where it talks about the rapture, think about it. In a millisecond, all the dead Christians throughout history and all the ones that died in Israel that were preached to by Jesus, that received him, all those are going to come back in a millisecond, reassemble their bodies, and then we're going to jet back to heaven. I mean, this is something that man, you know, he don't even, can't even comprehend this. And I find this with people, because when you talk to people and you bring these things up, it shocks their mind, even Christians, because they're thinking on the level that they've been told, like, we just go have, it would be good if we just had this life as it is with no problem. But it's far more than that. And I'm of the mindset that if it was really just going to be that, I don't think it would have taken so much and so long to get us to this point. I believe God then would have gave Adam the Ten Commandments and laid it out for him, and life would have been a whole different level, because we would have been at the max. We wouldn't have went through all these different changes and drama. I mean, think about how this thing is laid out. You know, I was thinking earlier today about the fact, you know, when people tell me man wrote the Bible, when I get through, we're going to read a scripture about that. they be wanting to say something, but they mind can't, okay? But anyway, all right. So last week I had began talking about the aspect that they got to gave me an acronym for holy, and that is humble, for the age, and obedient, and loving, and yielding. And that's the goal of God. I mean, when you really look at it, because, again, you have to look at the whole picture and not just how you interact with people now. Your interaction now is training for the eternal life. Again, once the rapture occurs, we go to 100% use of our mind. This can be seen in Luke chapter 16 prayerfully. Because, you know, you don't have to just take my word. Ask God, is this so what I'm seeing? Because, again, you got a conversation between two men that are 500 years apart. They did not have internet and libraries and a whole bunch of materials. He might have heard of Abraham's name, but he to be able to identify him in a crowd of thousands, that right there is a whole different issue. And his mind, even though he was in the hell part, his mind was at 100%. He was able to communicate with Abraham without a cell phone. There was a distance between it. Okay? I mean, it gives you timeline, because Abraham told him that his brother, he wanted Abraham to send somebody, send Lazarus back to warn his brothers. And Abraham said, well, your brother got Moses and the prophets. And that's why I get the 500-year timeline. Okay, because the timeline between Abraham and Moses is roughly about 500 years. Today, Israel spent 435 years in Egypt. And it's a lot to that. The Lord, I'm telling you, when you spend time with God, he'll begin to tell and show you things. And what God, when he show you things, he'll back it up with his word. Because it all lines up. Eternity. That's the key factor that people miss. And this is what leads to erroneous teachings. You know, it's tremendous. tremendous enough on his own. I mean, just being human is tremendous. When you talk about teleporting, you know, that's tremendous. Because if you, anybody that's into science and molecular science specifically, know that that's a tremendous feat. I mean, just to be able to be visible and invisible. But if you cause, for you to cause yourself to be invisible, you have to have the comprehension to have your every molecule in your body speed up and spin past the speed of 186,000 miles per second. Think about that. Because your molecules, if you ever seen them in a microscope, they're spinning, they're moving. And that, the deep part about it with science now, we can look at a cell and then see inside the cell that there are cells inside. Inside your cell is an eternal marker. It's incredible. I visit science sites and I listen to scientists and they talk about, you know, the fact of infinity just don't make sense to them, but it is what it is. All right. So what we're talking about is trying to draw a picture or help you understand that you're one of the most powerful beings on the planet. And again, the reason we go through this process of learning how to walk in love is because we're going to be given tremendous power. Remember, Jesus said, it says in Acts, in the book of Revelation, that he has made us kings and priests. Those are rulership positions and authority of relationship between man and God. And, I mean, that's a tremendous power right now. And, you know, there's 10,000, 14,000 religions on the planet, but not only God only here for one. And God said he's the only God, so we're the only people. It doesn't matter. You know, I get the fact I'm wholeheartedly a supporter of Israel. Amen. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem, as it says in Psalm 122:6. But I also realize what it says in 1 Peter 2:9. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. The royal priesthood is the only one that can go to God, somebody get saved. Think about how powerful that is. You hold people's lives in your hand, which also means that there's a level of sin by not praying that's unequaled. Because God doesn't move, and we will be held accountable for that. I don't think people understand that. It's so much. I'm trying to keep it limited to what I'm saying right now because I've always believed that as we got toward the end of time that God was going to bum rush us with revelation. But I don't think it's him bum rushing us. We just took too long wanting to sit down and listen. Even now, people, look at how Satan have mastered distraction. You know, they got all these social media. I only go to one social media site. I ain't going to spend all day TikToking and all these other old sites. For what? Okay? Anyway, but let's read our headline scripture. It says, but you shall receive power. That's in Acts 1:8. You shall receive power, excuse me, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, Samaria, Detroit, New York, L.A., wherever you are, okay, in your neighborhood, all right? And then it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And if you're new, you should go to my website or YouTube and look up the series I have on Christ. Because I did 15 separate series on that. Because Christ, understoodedly, it's not Jesus' last name, okay? It's a declaration of a work that God completed that allows man to unite with God. That's another aspect. See, that's what makes you part of the body of Christ. That's what makes you, quote, Christian. As I said before, the name Christian was given to the Jews by Gentiles, a.k.a. pagans. It doesn't matter. They weren't of the body of Christ. They weren't of the nation of Israel. They weren't of God. But yet they saw God acting with them doing marvelous things in their behavior toward them, you know, that interaction. And that says a lot right there, because today we're focusing, like I say, you're talking about being humble. What's my definition of humble at? Okay. All right, here, where we got? It says here, I didn't get this out of my website, but anyway, it says, having or showing modest or low estimates of one's own importance, and I put that in relation to God. Because this is the problem with a lot of us. And, you know, anytime I go outside of the will of God, the first person I'm pushing aside is God. Okay, think about that. You know, when I said if I don't do rage, but if I do that, and I get it, because Satan likes to snap trap you, as I call it, you know, sneak up on you real quick. And you have to, it takes practice to not respond quickly. What they say, apply the 10-second rule. If you apply the 3-second rule, you'll save yourself a lot of drama. Remember, you have power. Okay, a young man he did call me a name. I hadn't heard that name in 40 years, called me the N-word. But see, I'm at that place now that I realized that it was the devil. But it didn't come out like Satan wanted. Matter of fact, I attacked Satan, because what I did was pray for that person to receive the revelation of the knowledge of Jesus, because he obviously did not know it, or he forgot it. I don't know if he was saved or not saved. But in other words, when you pray, you're attacking Satan with the word particularly. See, that's what God is expecting us to learn, because, again, you look at the finish line. When you look on the other side of the tribulation period, you will have the survivors of the tribulation, and then we come back to earth with Jesus. We are at 100% of our mind. They're still at 20% of our mind, as far as I know. I'm just going by what I see in the scripture. I don't read anything that says that they have been converted, because at the end of the 1,000 years, they get tried again. And obviously, all of them don't make it. We're not going to fail. I mean, you'd have to be the most retarded. Well, I don't know. Satan never had a bad day in his life, and he got kicked out of heaven. Now, it's possible that people could be that stupid. I know I ain't going to be that stupid. Believe me. Believe me. Man, after going through all this life, this is enough. That's another reason for this life. If you can't appreciate a heavenly life after going through this life, nobody gets through this life unscathed unless you died as a baby. Okay? You know, you go through too much. I don't care who you are. You know, I don't care what part of the world you come through. You go through some things. And if you leave here and go to heaven, you ain't going to want to downgrade your life. You know what I mean? Come on, really? Seriously? I've seen people go to prison because they don't want to take a downgrade in the natural life. You know, they had to go back to living in a small house and get a job. They'll do some shady stuff. Believe me, I've seen it. Just to keep an upgrade, wind up with a total downgrade in prison. In our case, we'd wind up in hell. All right. So the issue is, and the Bible is full of examples of people that face challenges. I mean, remember, these were human beings. They, even though they had supernatural encounters with God, they still, the human part of them became affected their decision making. Okay, but they set a stand and set a standard for us to follow. Okay. And the number one on my list was Noah. I mean, you got to think back to what it was like psychologically during his time. Now, these were men, when the Bible said that Noah found grace in the eyes of God, okay, that came from, one, his willingness to be submissive to God. Okay, that's one of the key factors of being humble. And this, you learn this from the Holy Spirit, okay? Because, and the reason I'm using Noah, because during that time, they didn't have the Holy Spirit in them like we have now. It be up on them. But what you're seeing is an interaction between the intelligence of God versus the intelligence of man, and the impact that it has on a person who And you have to be willing. God don't force you to do anything. There's consequences for not doing what he say, but he don't. That is not forced, because those things are laid out in law. Okay, like gravity, they're going to happen. You know, that's what you see, I believe, in Deuteronomy 28. If you do this, you're going to be blessed. If you don't, you're going to be cursed. And that's the reality of life. And these are things that are key that God wants us to understand that will exist forever. Okay? Now, that's, and again, this was necessary in order for us to understand the magnitude of what we're going to have. Again, you got to look at the power level from what you see in the Word. Again, you don't have to just believe what I'm telling you. You shouldn't. You should ask God, is this so? So it'll be confirmed in your spirit. Amen. And so you're looking at Noah. I mean, God did have MIT send him to learn how to build an ark. So he had to believe the voice that was coming in his head. And it didn't start with the ark, okay? And that's what God doesn't start with, the big project. He start out small. You start out small and God start telling you things and you start doing those things. I recently had an experience. I was in the grocery store and I was getting ready to buy some of my favorite soup. And I started getting this negative response in my spirit. Now, Holy Spirit dwells in the center of your being, not your head. Your head is like a superhighway. Too much junk comes through there, okay? He's in the center of your being. And right below, I would say, in the rib cage area, okay? You can sense him in there. And it should be, if he's in agreement, you'll feel peace, Colossians 3:13, let the peace of God rule. That'd be the dominating factor. And I started being unpeaceful, and I know I just gave some English teacher a headache, but anyway, I had asked God to help me with this. We are all different, and I don't believe anybody can write one diet program for a specific person, regardless if they all came from the same culture. We all have certain characteristics about ourselves that are different from others. But anyway, I mean, I went because it was on sale. But the one thing about pre-made soups is they have come with a lot of sodium. You know, and I ain't too fond of what they call the hearty, healthy version. You know, it's kind of like Chinese food. When they stop putting MSG in it, it lost that flavor is gone. But it's about being healthy, you know, not having to get in a healing line, not having to have people lay hands on you, not having to have body organs fail because there's so much toxins in your body. And now, you know, it's amazing that in America, there's less regulation over foods than other countries. There's foods like certain foods I ain't going to mention are banned in other countries. You can't go there and get them. Why? Because they're not healthy. And really, the Bible uses a term called deceitful meats, I believe, in the book of Daniel. And that's what it's talking about, see. But my point here is being sensitive in small areas to the Holy Spirit, because that becomes critical with larger tasks. In our case, that's what it starts out with us, being sensitive. I mean, preparing a meal, you know, getting instruction from the Holy Spirit. He might even give you a new recipe that you can sell. I mean, a lot of things. And this is what he said in Proverbs 3:5. He said, all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Because, again, it's about our health. You know, and being healthy. I just want to stay healthy enough to make the rapture. All right. So we had Noah. Then we have Abraham. Okay, and I'm not going to go through the whole Hebrew Hall of Fame, because the key word here, I want to read what he told Abraham. And this is in Genesis chapter 12. just for the new people, is this is very important. Get the bell. Matter of fact, let me switch Bibles here. It's always you always want to do what God say do, how He say do, right here. All right, Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, this was before God changed His name, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you. I'm going to read the rest of this. And I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. And I will, this is very important in verse 3. It says, I will bless those who bless you and curse those, and I will curse him who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Right there, and all the families shall be blessed is really a revelation of Jesus Christ, you know. But, you know, I met a young lady yesterday. I picked her up at a Jewish synagogue and told her right away that I stand with Israel. This is why the first time I read this 40 years ago, 40 plus years ago, I knew what God was talking about. Even though I was only in the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis, I knew He was saying, listen, if you curse the Jews, you're going to be cursed. So I never violated that. But, you know, they hate Jews because it reminds them of God's authority and ability. See, Satan used people to exercise His will as God used people. And the hatred toward the Jews is just the simple fact that Satan's been trying to stop the promise, and he can't do it. But don't let yourself get caught up. See, I don't let my emotions, and anyway, I mean, people are people. My mama taught us, treat people like they treat you, and I've never been mistreated knowingly by a Jewish person. And if I did, I would deal with that individual and not blame it on a whole race of people. That's a revelation for somebody. But the point here is that God gave him instructions, and he followed them. Now, you think about what that means. You got to give up your security from the backup of your family. But then in his case, the other reason is that Abraham's father had got off into idolatry, you know, when man's reasoning, and you're seeing that now, you know, and I'm seeing that, and I'm seeing warnings about that. There's a book out called Return of the Gods. And it's really the return of the devil, but they ain't returning until after the rapture. Because if you look at history, when the Holy Spirit was released in the earth, then all them gods that they worshiped disappeared because the authority level changed. Okay, Zeus and all them had to go take, you know, step to the background. It wasn't number demons dressing up, you know, playing games with people's minds, you know. And even now, you know, I ain't gonna even talk about that. Listen, I was going to say something about Enoch, but I'm going to tell you, do some research. And then your research should include God. If your research don't include God, then it's incomplete. You know, people keep talking about that stuff. I'm going to tell you that I ain't worried about nothing that don't have authority over the Holy Spirit. That's what He said. You shall have power, and that's not temporary. It becomes greater. And again, there are different levels of authority that comes with that, all right? And then behind them, we have Moses. I mean, you think about Moses, I mean, that's a story of itself for you new people. There's a movie out called The Ten Commandments, you know, if you want to with Charlton. I like the Charlton Heston version. That's, you know, it's close, as close as they can get. You know, somebody told me they don't get pinpoint accurate with movies because God has the copyright on the Bible and they don't want to violate it, so they have to make some changes, you know. But, I mean, you think about this. Imagine if it was you. I mean, put your name in here where I say Moses, okay? And hold on, I'm doing something technical here. All right. Now, this is Moses. Now, let me, for the new people, let me give you a crash course right here. All right. This is Israel has gone through a process. They've been in Egypt now about 430 years, as it was God told them it was. But let me tell you, it wasn't God's plan. Humans are humans. When they got down there, they got the mixing up, and, you know, Egypt was like going to New York, and that's what happened. All right. And anyway, things flipped on them, and because they were who they were, they wound up being slaves, all right? And so God getting ready to rescue them out of their slavery. Again, that's Satan trying to block the promise, okay? The Egyptians were paganistic. They worshiped a crazy god. I could not. I don't understand the logic of somebody looking at something, got a dog head on it, and calling it God. That's Satan's way of calling you stupid. Anyway, it says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. Now listen at this. This is somebody pointed this out to me today. And they talk about the burning bush, but it said the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. Take note of that. Pay attention to detail. The angel was standing in the middle of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, now I shall turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw and turned aside to look, called him from the midst of the bush, he said, Moses, I'll put your name, Richard. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet. For where you stand is holy ground. That's God. But I want to skip down to verse 10. It says, come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people up out of the children of Israel. Now, before Moses ended up out there in the desert, I've read some history books that really reveal some things. Moses was a lot of characters on top of being an architect, a stepson of Pharaoh. But God gave him the revelation of that he was a Jew. He was of Israel. And he saw one of his brethren being abused by an Egyptian, and he killed the Egyptian. You know, he fought him, knocked him out, the dude died. So Moses fled for his life. So here God is telling Moses he's going to send him back to Egypt. Now, here you got, back then, you only had one penalty. They don't have life without parole. It was execution for the crime of murder. And God going to send him back to the scene of the crime. And he's got to go. Think about that. Now, how you feel about that? Because, you know, you go back there, you're a wanted man. You know you only got one penalty, but you're going to obey God. See, but again, that comes from, see, when you're dealing with God, at some point in time, he's going to send you through some things. He's going to have you do some strange things. And again, if you're paying attention, he'll start you out small. Because he knows you need to grow to a certain level of comfort zone to trust him at a higher level. It's a process. But this is what the Holy Spirit does if you give him time. And that's where people come up short. They don't give him time. They don't spend time with him. They don't spend time listening to him. You know, I was listening to one of the most men of God, David Youngie Cho. And he talks about you open up the Bible, and anybody that reads the Bible on a regular basis know what I'm talking about. You'll start reading, and at some point, God starts talking to you. The Holy Spirit starts talking to you. That's why you read the Word. I look for that. And this is how I get to know what I know. I mean, you'll know him because you and him, you'll have a conversation going on. And if you're wrong about something, he'll correct you, which is why I recommend you always consult with him. That's what he's saying in his word. Consult with him. I mean, but think about what this means. And this is critical because in these days with time running short, God can't send one person everywhere. Your pastor can't go everywhere to do everything. some places God is going to send you. If just one of the saints is in the hospital and they keep coming on your mind, you go see them and lay hands on them and pray for them. Now, again, don't listen. That will encourage you because, you know, in order to be effective in prayer, even, you know, this is a unique thing about God. This is what throws people off. You know, you could be, God, if God sends you, he sends you. But it'll make you clean your act up if it needs cleaning, okay? Because you then begin to see the responsibility that you have. And you know, you feel more confident when you work walking or striving to walk up right before God versus not. I'm going to put it like that. All right? And that's the thing. See, Moses and them didn't have all that we have. We got the Bible complete. I mean, he didn't have all that. He's just going, but then at the same time, God was more operating at an epiphany level, at a greater level than he does now. But you will find those situations where God will speak plainly, clearly. You know, I've had situations where God had me do strange stuff, and it was not going to make me look good. You know, he does not care about you looking goofy. I'm going to tell you right now. Okay? But when you do what he says and when he manifests his glory, you won't look so goofy then. That's the difference. You won't look so goofy. You know, I had an incident where I had to minister to a man that if you had saw him, I'd look like a total idiot. I mean, this guy was chained up. He had four deputies with him. At the time, I was working in an area where they processed people at, and it was the psychiatrist's office was near, and they was bringing him through there. And the Lord told me to tell this man, look how crazy this sounds. Now, you got four deputies and a sergeant with him. And the Lord, and I'm just going to step out there and look at this totally crazy person. This boy has stabbed his mama 50 times because he got caught up in witchcraft. I learned that later on. But at the time, I didn't know all that. I just knew he looked crazy. I mean, he looked demonic. And the Lord said, tell him, double cross the devil and turn to Jesus. Now, you know, I looked like a religious nut right then. See, but I could tell the voice of God. You know, that because my voice was like, Lord, now you know this ain't going to look right. Y'all don't care about that. You know what? Several months later, that young man had did exactly. I ran across him again. He was still in custody, but he was a totally changed person, and God had to live in him. And then that's when he shared what happened. He got caught up in witchcraft. They leave them Ouija boards alone, y'all. I'm telling you. You licensed the devil. Amen. You license the devil for that foolishness, and you get caught up in some mess. Devil is real. God is real. Devil is real. Anyway, and he exposed. But see, my partner, at that time I was working a one-man vehicle, two-man vehicle, and my partner, he thought I was kind of weird. But that changed everything because he knew the change that had came about with that young man. But anyway, this is what I'm telling you, see. But again, we're in the last days, and I'm already seeing things where people, blind man got baptized, and then when he came up out of the water, his eyes was open, you know. But you want to be sensitive. I have been expecting this. This is the Holy Spirit job, is to do what we can't do. See, that's what identifies God, is that which is above and beyond man. See, like I said, when he cleaned me up instantly. That's what the Holy Spirit does, what we can't do. I ain't going to say we don't need God, but God doesn't have to get involved till it gets beyond our ability. Okay, expect God to do the supernatural. I'm expecting him. But again, you have to be sensitive to his voice and direction so that you know that it's him directing you to do it. And yeah, don't be afraid to miss it. And sometimes it don't be, you might miss it. And it may just be them. Some people are really deep off into doubt. know, that's another reason you have to listen to the Holy Spirit, all right? So then, you know, you had Joshua. I mean, you know, that's the story in the book of Judges, I believe, chapter 6, I mean, Joshua chapter 6. But anyway, he had to face off against a city called Nineveh. You know, now Moses, I mean, Joshua took over after Moses. I mean, you got to take over behind a man that brought about 2 million people through a body of water where the water stood up on both sides. Okay, you got to follow act like that. You know, fed people, got water out of a rock. I mean, God did many miracles during that journey across the desert, and now you're in charge. And people are going to be looking at you, saying, what you going to do? You know how he is. And people will look at you. And if you don't look like what they think a leader should look like, they will let you know. They really will let you know. You might be too short. You might be too skinny. You know, one of the things that still disturb me is that the Bible does not paint a handsome looking Jesus. It says that nobody likes his countenance. That's what it says. You know, God did that intentionally because he didn't want people to be drawn by beauty. Okay? But anyway, we got to move on here. But I mean, things this for the new people benefit. The city of Nineveh. Matter of fact, let's just go over here. Jericho. Thank you, Holy Ghost. They had to take down a city named Jericho, and this is something. Matter of fact, I'm gonna go back here to Exodus chapter 3, and I want to point out something, and think about this in relation to the Hamas war in Gaza right now. Now, in verse 8, this is God talking. It says, so I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from a land that is, bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey. I don't know why they say milk and honey, bad for our health. But anyway, milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. In other words, God get to evict these people and give this land to Israel. This is what, I don't care what people's opinion is, God owned this place. And if he give it to somebody, he gives it to somebody. And ain't not, listen, ain't nobody going to object. I don't care what people's opinion is, Israel is not going to be uprooted. I already read how this thing going to turn out. So I already know Israel going to win. They're going to keep that land. Everything that the Bible says is going to be. And that's the same way it is with you. You got a promise, locked in promise with God. If you God gave you a promise, believe it. Believe it. Don't let, see, they had to waste some time. But anyway, so when they get to this city called Jericho, Jericho was a fortified city. They had not only a wall around it, the wall was about 40 feet wide, okay? So it's not just a wall, okay, like your typical 18-inch wide. It's about 40 feet wide. And then God giving them weird instructions. First, you're going to take the city, okay? I mean, this is not looking easy at all. But again, Joshua had been inexperienced by following through with Moses. And there, you go back and look at some of the battles that he was in. He had to trust God. He had learned to trust God. And if you learn to trust God, God going to put you out there. He's going to change your direction in your life because he's going to fill a gap where he needs you. I see people, married people that are faithful to God, and they're going to get called to be pastors because God don't have a lot to work with. I see churches closed that God won't open. You know, Word of Faith is opening up a church in the east side of Detroit area, on the east side somewhere, you know. That's what we do. That's what my pastor does. He trains pastors. They open up facilities. They pay for the pastor until he's able to. Till he call and say, "Okay, I'm good. I don't need y'all no more. We good. We standing on our own." Amen. I mean, because that's how it gets done. Because you burn your teeth, they do outreach, you know. Go out and reach two people. Go out and speak to people to try to win them to Christ. And when we go out, we don't try to win them the word of faith. We win them to Christ. We let God decide who goes with. Because God does, again, that becomes a whole different issue. They need to tune in, though, so that they can learn how to walk their walk, you know, and not just talk their talk. But, okay, so you're going to experience this. Expect it, because, again, we're not talking about, I don't know, like a small amount of electricity, like a AAA battery. That's the way some people act with the Holy Spirit. It took me a while to grasp. One day, and it changed everything when I got a revelation of who was in me, what Christ means. That means Christ is a statement of a finished work of God. That's the finished work of God for man, bringing man and God together. God intended this. God is going, I know, I get people push back. People don't, you know, that God is the only God. Okay, people always push back against that. But that Adam was only going to go so long before he sinned. Somebody was going to break rank. At some point in time, man was going to be in trouble, okay? Because you'd have to be omniscient to them not. You'd have to have full access to all power at all times in any dimension in order for you not to sin. So, you know, don't feel bad when you don't. And we don't see all the activity going on in the spiritual realm. This is why you don't jump on the bandwagon to hate all preachers. You know, I don't get that at all. You're jumping on, listen, anybody, unless they outright deny Christ openly, and you know they've been, the Bible said they're very clear about that. You know, they've tasted of the heavenly gift, okay? If I was to turn around and reject Christ openly, verbally, then yeah, then you know what? Then I become a case that you don't even pray for me. But if I, you know, I can't think of no one in Hollywood that would trip me up. Not at this point in life anyway. But if, you know, something was to happen, you know, you don't know. I had an incident where this guy, he had went to a bar. He was nutting up. But what had happened is his daddy didn't teach him like my daddy taught us. If you leave your drink, you go to the bathroom, don't drink it when you come back. And somebody had put something in his drink, and he'd been brain damaged ever since. So you can't, and particularly if you read in Zechariah chapter 3, I believe, 3:1, it said Joshua the high priest stood before the Lord and Satan at his right side ready to resist. Satan attacked leaders. So we're supposed to attack Satan, not the leaders. You know, again, you don't want the outcome. Jesus made it clear. If you be judgmental, you're going to be judged by the judgment level that you use. If you want to be just openly critical with no evidence, that's how it's going to come back to you. And unless you're perfect, drop your rocks. Because I ain't perfect. I be trying, but I ain't. All right. So we didn't cover Abraham, Joshua. Oh, yeah, we're talking about that 40-foot wall. Well, see, now God gave him specific instruction. And when he got down to the, he told him, march around the city. That's crazy by itself. Now, you got an army. I'm not going to shoot arrows and flames. I'm just going to march around the city. And then you obey. This is what Holy Spirit does. You got to know him, okay? And then he said at the end of that, shout. And that's what happened. They shouted, and the walls came down. There's some interesting stuff about that in the book of Joshua, too. But see, again, when you look at that shouting under the anointing of God, and in the anointing, when you think anointing, think increase of the power of God. And you need to learn to be sensitive to that, you know. One aspect, this might not work for everybody. I can't give you scripture quote. I've got it from somebody, and I had the experience myself, okay? And they talked about, they knew that God wanted them to lay hands on people because they would get a burning in the center of their hands when Jesus' hands was nailed in your hand. And I had that once, and I went looking for somebody to lay hands on. But God does not mold, because people will turn. You know, they'll try to sell it to you. Yeah, give me $25 and I'll lay hands on you, and you'll know you got the burning hands to lay hands on people. Don't never. Again, you know what? I look at all these people. I get what some of these people think they're doing and calling out preachers. No. The people is the one. Listen, people sat up, got killed by a man by name Jim Jones. They got killed because they didn't believe God. That's what all that's about. So my whole point in all this is keep God in the mix. Keep God in the mix. Stay close. One of the ways to stay close to God is by you got to pray every day. You should be praying every day. That's why he gave you power to pray. And praise him every day. Take a few minutes. Take 3 minutes. You can't take 3 minutes and praise God. Just, he don't care that you can't sing like some of them great singers. He want to hear from your heart. Just praise him. To you, I'm telling you, he'll reward you. He'll bless you. And he's good enough. Read the book of Revelation chapter 21 and ask yourself if that by itself ain't a good enough reason. Look where you're going to live at. Look where you go. I just heard another report about the mansions in heaven. Amen. Anyway, all right. Well, we had the conclusion of this. I don't know if this is the end of this particular segment. It ain't the end unless the rapture comes. Hallelujah. But if you don't have power, you don't know you have power. Well, if you had power and you fell away from God, that happens. That happens because people get hurt. That's what a broken heart does. The Lord explained that to me. Anyway, all you have to do is say this prayer with me. Lord God in heaven, I believe the Bible is your word. I believe you sent it to direct us. I believe it is true. It is your guide for our lives. And I believe that it says that we all were born in sin because Adam sinned. And Father, you said that you sent your son to die for our sins. And we ask, and all you said, we ask, and I acknowledge that I was born in sin, and I ask forgiveness for my sins. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and to save me now. And I say with my mouth, and I believe in my heart, that I am saved, I am born again, and I am restored. I know. All right. Anyway. Well, anyway, praise the Lord. Well, this is another end of the segment. And again, remember this, the prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And God is love. Shalom.
But I never tell you the truth. That would do. Say I love you, but I'm never hoping the best. So judge your motive as if I can see your heart through your chest. I say I love you, but I'm not willing to talk. I'm not willing to fight, cause you do this. I'd rather not see your face or hear your voice anywhere. I say I love you for sure, my actions say I don't care. If I loved you, wouldn't I be more willing to overlook wrong things that you've done? Instead of finding it a habit, I make a list of everything I just can't stand about you. Never thinking of your feelings. The way I love you makes Jesus look unappealing. But I say that I love you, I say that I love you. It wasn't really love, 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 love. Wasn't really love, 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 love. Yeah.
What is love? What is love?
Yeah, it's easy to be a nice kid, showing more with niceness. Doing things for my own glory is enticing. It's inviting, it makes me look good. It gets me praises from the people, got me flying like an eagle. That's the mindset of my heart before my surgery. Now I got new eyes, my old logic deserted me. Yeah, I know the God who in his kindness prepared himself to take my death, although I walked in blindness. Yeah, you mean I never could deserve him? Nah, there's nothing I can do to earn him? Nah, I simply must accept his love and let the grace you show me be a witness to all the and my brothers. To a stranger on a corner. To my best friends and my enemy, I learned to love and others take humility. He's leading me. I have searched within myself to find the energy to love unselfishly. That was then, this is now. Jesus put me on the truth and show me how to get down. And honestly, I'm really needing you around. I don't wanna make it work if only you were still allowed. Love is patient and willing to wait for you. It's not arrogant, how can I pray for you? Is there something that was heavy on your mind? I'm a little far behind, but I would love to give you my time to listen. Is there anything you need? If I have it, I can share it, cause this life is not for me. I know before I didn't really care, but now my vision's become pretty clear. Will you forgive me for how I have hurt you? Will you forgive me for how I have hurt you? Because I really wanna love, 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 love. Really wanna love, love. We'll be right back.